Good morning again.
There's a sermon outline just in the middle of the newsletter if you want to follow along with that. Let me pray as we begin together. Father, as we think about what it means to be an invitational church, we pray that you would direct us by your word and through your spirit to grasp hold of your heart and to make it our heart and desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now don't leave me hanging here. What's the best invitation you've ever received? The best invitation you've ever received. A place in uni. Nice. That's a good one. Yeah. It's like your whole life is hanging on a thread until you get that invitation, isn't it? Any other good invitations?
My wedding invitation.
Your wedding invitation. Your wife invited you? That's good. Any other good invitations? Yep. The opening of a bottle of Grange. That's a good invitation. You turned that down, obviously. No. Wow, an invitation to the Messiah in Zulu with the king present. Not the Messiah king, but the other king. Fantastic. Wow. Wow, there you go. What about your worst invitation? Worst invitation you've ever received. Everyone's looking around just to make sure that person's not here. Because it was someone from church, wasn't it? Worst invitation? Anyone? Going to say?
Don't mention the summons.
Don't mention the summons. Well, I reckon there's always those invitations you get and you think, oh no. And you might just be just wanting to say something like this. Sorry I can't make it to your holiday party that I'm pretending to attend to get out of going to another holiday party. That's a good one. Or this one. This is another good one. Thanks for the invite, but I have much more fun doing nothing at my house. Have you ever wanted to say that? No?
Yes, you have.
Let's be honest. Thank you, John. Sorry I can't make it to your party. I have to be anywhere else that night. Yeah. Sometimes you want to say that because invitations depend on three things. The person who's inviting you, what the event is, and if you're actually available. So my friend rang me the other day, told me he's getting married, very exciting, and he's getting married in a month. So the person who was inviting me was important to me, the event was a wedding, and I was actually available, and our whole family's available. So that was great. But what happens if you invite your best friend, who might not be a believer, for example, to church? Or to a church event? There's a good chance they might say no, isn't there? Even though their best friend's inviting them, they might actually, they know what the event is and they're actually available. But the simple fact is, they would rather be anywhere else that night or day. That just might be the truth, isn't it? You ask someone to along to something in your church family to meet the community of believers in some way, and they might be thinking, gee, I really, really like Len. I'll go for him because he's a good friend and see what, his church is like. Or they might be thinking, oh, what's that going to be like? Yeah, I think I'm busy for the next 29,000 Sundays and will never be able to make it, sorry. When we invite people to a church or a church event, they might not actually want to go. That's the fourth thing about an invitation. It doesn't matter who invites you or what the event is or if you're available. If you don't want to go, and you're gutsy enough to say something like that, then you just don't want to go. Now, I'm going to assume in this sermon that we want to invite people along to church events, whether it's a Sunday service or a social or a special activity put on or whatever it is, because I'm going to assume that we want people to meet the community of God so they might meet Jesus. And there might be other ways we do that before that step, but I'm going to assume that our intentions for our friends and things is to at some stage be able to invite them to something in our church or another church family that they might be able to meet God's family and meet Jesus through that. I'm just going to assume that because it's a logical step towards, if you want someone to know God, meeting his people is a really good way and a step eventually you can't avoid. Right? So I'm going to assume that. But how do we make this a place where we can invite people to join us each day? How do we make this a place of invitation? So we're going to have a look at what Paul says in Colossians first. And the first step that Paul takes as we've probably heard a thousand times, is to pray. We're always talking about prayer, how important it is. Well, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 3 of Colossians, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ." Prayer is the first thing we need, but notice what Paul does here. He asks others to pray for him, for them. Pray for us, that God may open a door. The first thing he does is to turn to other people, his church family, and say, pray for us. Let me suggest that is a great first step, because inviting someone to church or witnessing to someone in their life, whatever that involves, it's not an individual effort. It's a team effort. And so when you invite someone to church, you want your whole church family standing behind you. Not literally, because that would be a bit scary. So you want them praying for you. So as you go to invite someone for that first time, you know that your church family, or at least your Bible study group, have been praying for you, for a door to be open for that opportunity. And that is the first step, before we go out, to ask others to pray for us. Step two, you might pick up a theme here. Step two is to pray. We've asked others to pray. Now we pray ourselves. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of opportunities, good conversation, full of grace, knowing how to answer people. Now, Paul just says, you know, do those things, be those things. But we know Paul's background in this chapter is prayer. We know that if we're going to be wise, if we're going to make the most of opportunities, to have good conversations with people and to give good answers, we're going to need to pray. Because the wisdom to do those things comes from God. Paul knows that we need wisdom. Can you imagine praying for a friend for 3 hours one day and thinking, I'm going to invite them to church. And after 3 hours, you go see them the next day. I've been praying for 3 hours. And you go to your friend and you say, look, I believe you're going to hell. And for you to know Jesus, you need to come to church. Otherwise, I can't be your friend anymore. Would that be a wise thing to say? No. So it's obvious that we need to be wise in what we say. We need to be thoughtful and careful. It's not just about having others pray for us, but to pray ourselves for the wisdom from God, to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders and to other people. Wisdom for good conversation. Wisdom that the rest of your family, they've prayed for a door to be open for you. And you pray for the opportunities once you walk through that door. There is never a moment that we are switched off from doing that. And this is, I think, the greatest challenge for us today. There's never a moment where we can say, no, I'm not going to be a witness for Jesus today. I'm going out with friends tonight. I'm just going to have a night off. And if a friend asks me, look, I'd like to know more about your church or more about your faith. Can you tell me? I'll just say, well, I'm sorry, it's my night off tonight, but if you'd like to ring me tomorrow, I'd be happy to talk about it with you. You would never do that. I don't believe you would anyway. Because we're never switched off from being a witness for Jesus. This is, following Jesus means that we are always following him. And we're always his witness. And we're always looking for opportunities. And so we're always praying that that would happen. So step one is to get others to pray for you. I wonder if you've ever done that. Ever gone to a friend, a Christian friend, and say, can you pray for me that a door would be open to talk to this person? Have you ever done that? It's not an easy thing to do. But it's the first step. Step two, pray yourself for wisdom, to make the most of opportunities, good conversations. And step three, let's look together at Luke chapter 5. If you've got it there in the Bibles in front of you, it's a great story about Jesus and Levi the tax collector. Jesus sees Levi and invites him to follow him, which means for Jesus, leave absolutely everything and follow me for the rest of your life. That's just like the fishermen. When Jesus said, leave everything and follow me, they left their nets, everything they own, follow Jesus, and that was it. Same with Levi. He asked Levi, a tax collector, to leave everything. All his money, his money tables, the collecting that he was doing, a very profitable business. Do you know who Levi became? changed his name to Matthew, the apostle. Probably the writer of the first gospel, Matthew. This is Levi, the tax collector. A sinful man. Why was he sinful? Tax collectors were renowned to be pretty much the bottom of moral society. Because the Romans would send them out to collect taxes these from their people. So here is Levi, presumably a Jew, right? Collecting money from all the Jews and those in the towns. And the Romans said, we need this much. We need you to collect this much in tax. And Levi would say, well, I need to make money for myself as well, so I'll have to add a bit more on top of that. And that's how he made his money. Sometimes he would ask double or triple or even quadruple what he was supposed to ask and collect mountains of money. It was a very lucrative business, but everyone hated them, and for good reason. They were dishonest. They were out to make money for themselves at the cost of sending people into poverty. This was the man Jesus sees and says, come and follow me. Walk past all the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the church leaders of the day, and sees Levi and says, come follow me. And so Levi follows him, and he invites Jesus to a banquet. And Jesus goes to that banquet with Levi and a whole bunch of other tax collectors and sinners. There's Jesus with his tax collector, all of his tax collecting friends, and all his sinful friends, the bottom of society. And people are asking, why does this righteous man, Jesus, this man who claims to be a prophet from God, why does he eat with these people? Because, says Jesus in verse 31, what a comforting verse this is, verse 31. It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, really? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And there is, yes, a tone of sarcasm in Jesus' voice as he says that. I've not come to call the righteous. Those people I've just passed by, those teachers of the law, the people in the church who think they are too good to need my help, even though they need my help, they're too good. I haven't come for them. I've come for the people who know that their life is a mess. Sound familiar to another story in Luke? The sinful woman who wept over Jesus' feet and dried his feet with her hair. And again, the Pharisee sitting across the table said, Jesus, if you knew who that woman was, you wouldn't let her touch you. Same thing. It's the sick who need a doctor. It's the ones who are a mess, who know they need help. In a sense, Jesus is saying, you guys who just think you're just perfect, I haven't got time for it. There's plenty of people here who are ready for help. So he invites the worst of sinners to follow him because they need him, because they need forgiveness. That's why Jesus offers Levi to come and follow him, because he knows Levi needs him. So what's step three? Well, step three is simply to invite. We pray, we have others pray for us, we pray ourselves, and then we go. We go and invite people, but we invite anyone. That's the great lesson we learned from Jesus with Levi, Jesus with the sinful woman, Jesus with everyone. Again and again, Jesus bypassed all these wonderful law-abiding Pharisees and teachers of the law, walked straight past them and invited and had dinner with prostitutes and tax collectors. Why? Because they need him. And so the lesson is not just to go, but to go and invite anyone, to not limit our sights. Not to approach someone and think, I wonder if this person would fit into our church culture. Maybe I'll invite them. That person wouldn't. I might invite them to another church. Or maybe they're not really a church person. Maybe I'll just leave that person alone. I wonder if Jesus walked past Levi and thought, oh, no, not him. He wouldn't fit at all. You couldn't have picked a worse person to fit in to the church of that day than Levi. Maybe a prostitute, but Jesus asked one of those as well. So, what do you do? Do we walk past people and say, Oh, I'm just looking for someone who will just fit into where I go to church. I'm going to invite them along. Or we just see the need of everyone. That we would be willing to just take off any blinkers we might have. It might be a person of a different faith, a person of a different culture, a person of a different socioeconomic background, a person of a different family situation to us. Take off those blinkers and be prepared to invite anyone. Because everyone needs to know Jesus, don't they? There can be no limit to our sights when we are thinking about being an invitational church. There is no one who should not feel that they can be invited and welcomed into this place. But we don't always get there, do we? We don't always do that. It's hard. We follow those first two steps, maybe. We have others pray for us. We pray ourselves, and then we go and invite people, or the rest is up to God. But often we don't get there. One thing that astounds me is that I can have a beautifully ripe banana one night, sitting in our fruit bowl. I go to bed and I wake up and I come out the next morning and it is black and spotty. And I think, oh, it's turned overnight. And then by you know, a few hours' time, it's black. I don't know how that happens. It's almost like they see me coming. Quick, change colour. And they sit there for a while, though, don't they, bananas? Now, please don't give me any advice after the service on what to do with my black bananas. This is just an illustration. I know very well banana cakes, all the other stuff, okay? No need to tell me. You know where I'm going with that. But isn't it frustrating? You just don't know. You see that it's good one day. The next day, oh, it's looking a bit off. Maybe I don't know if it's quite up for consumption. Maybe I'll just give it to the kids. You know, and then the next day it's just black and you just have to throw it out or compost it or make a banana cake or whatever you want to do. But you can't eat it as a banana anymore, right? You just wait for the right moment to eat it. And you see that moment and you think, oh, I don't really feel like a banana now. And you leave it. And you come back and the moment's passed. Isn't that what it's like with inviting someone to a church event or a church thing or just to your house for dinner? You want to invite, and it's hard, and you see, oh, perfect moment. Oh, just not really up to it at the moment. Come back a few hours later, ah, oh, moment's gone. A couple of days later, oh, banana's black. Chuck out that opportunity completely. It can be like that with invitation, with inviting someone. You know when the right time is? The right time to invite someone is precisely the time you actually invite them. When you actually say to someone, I'd like to invite you to my house for dinner. I'd like to invite you to my church this Sunday. I'd like to invite you to our carol service. I'd like to invite you to an evening we're having. That's the right time to ask someone along to something, is actually when you ask them. I've never had someone say to me after inviting them to something, I've never had them say, gee, no, I'm not going, but if you'd asked me in 3 hours' time, I would have gone. Sometimes there's never a good time to invite someone. Have you had one of those times, one of those people in your life? There is never a good time to invite that person. So just invite them anyway. If there's never a good time, now's as good a time as any, right? So just invite them. And they've said no, bang. You know what I think Jesus' whole culture of inviting was? It was just to make sure everyone had the opportunity to say no. Even Levi. You know, we don't hear in the Gospels, we don't hear how many people Jesus asked to follow him who didn't. There's a rich man that we know of. Hey, I'll just ask Levi. Levi, come follow me. Okay. And everyone's standing back in amazement. Really? He would ask him and then he would follow and leave everything? There's never a good time to ask a tax collector to come and follow Jesus. You just ask. And they've got the opportunity to say no. Because only when they have the opportunity to say no can they also have that opportunity to say yes. And the rest is up to God. So let me finish with a practical sort of side of things. What do we invite people to? Let me say personal invitations are great. Personal invitation to your home. Lunch, dinner, something. Personal invitation to share in your life. Jesus was called the friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was a term that was probably just thrown about, oh, here comes that friend of sinners. Wouldn't you love to be known like that? And it wouldn't be nice for people calling you the friend of prostitutes or something. That might have other connotations. But for Jesus, friend of tax collectors and sinners. This guy is a friend to anyone. You can invite anyone to your home or invite them out somewhere. That's actually a really easy thing, an easy way to start that sort of invitational culture in your own life. There are church invitations. Bring someone along to church. You know how many people I've invited someone once. It was a child of a parent I was talking to at the time. Invited the parent, and the child said, "So can we come? Can we actually come to your church?" "Yes." "Oh, I didn't realise." Another kid, one of my boys, handed a invitation to Carol's to one of their friends, and they looked at it and said, "Thanks." And the next day they said, "Can I actually come to this? Can I?" People do not know sometimes that they're invited here to be a part of us. I mean, do you feel invited to, you drive past all these other churches, do you feel that you can just walk in there anytime? Maybe, maybe not. People don't know that they're welcome. And that's why we need to invite, we need that culture that anyone can go to that church. People drive past this church and go, "Oh, you've been there." Anyone can go there. Anyone can just walk in. Doesn't even cost you anything. Don't have to pay at the door. Just walk in. It's comfortable seats. People don't know that. Just that invitation. There are special events. There's church services. There's social nights. There's carol services, Easter services we have. This year we've got invite nights that we're putting on special seminars about raising children, one about sexuality. We've got lots of opportunities to invite people along to something this year. It's just that simple. To actually find the right time, which is when you actually invite someone. Have others pray for you. Don't forget that step. Pray yourself for wisdom, opportunity, the right words, good conversations, good answers. And then go and invite. Invite a tax collector. Invite the unlikely person. Don't look for someone who will fit into the culture that you enjoy or that you think that we fit. But invite anyone. Friends, this is a really big hurdle for many of us. But once you jump a hurdle, it's behind you. There might be another hurdle down the track, but not for a while. Let me encourage you this year, at the start of this year, to jump that hurdle, that first hurdle of inviting. Pray, invite. Clear that first hurdle. Can you imagine what this year of mission would be like if 250 members of our church jumped that hurdle at the start of this year? That's what we're looking to do. Let me pray, because that's where we start doing it, and we'll pray that we can do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us with such clarity on things that are important to you and to your heart, and we see the desire of Jesus to be the friend of all people. The character of the people he invited to follow him were unique and astounding, astonishing to us. Father, we just pray for that heart, that compassion, that desire to see people, whoever they are, feel invited to come and worship you, to come and meet your family, or just to come to our houses. And Father, we pray this week that doors will be opened, that you'll give us wisdom to use the opportunities before us, and that we'll step up over that hurdle and speak. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.